According to the American Society on Aging, one in two people, 50% of people worldwide, hold ageist attitudes. Why does it matter? Well, ageism, according to doctors, is linked to increased social isolation, depression, anxiety among older adults. It also can lead to inadequate treatment in healthcare. And today is Ageism Awareness Day. And so joining us now is Clinical Associate Professor of Occupational Therapy at Quinnipiac University, Nicole Fidanza. And Nicole, thank you for coming on the show. Let's break down some of those findings. 50% of people worldwide have ageist attitudes. Why do you think that is?
Well, good morning, Melissa, and thank you for having me. Yes, it's a shocking statistic that many are not aware of. There's a lot of isms in our world, and all should have the spotlight, and we should be working to address them, ageism included. I think there's a lot of factors, and I think one of the biggest is that ageism is prevalent in our culture. It's when we think about, you know, the everyday invisible messages we're getting about older adults embedded in movies, TV series, greeting cards, jokes. Many paint older adults in a negative light, and we internalize that in how we look at others and ultimately as we age and how we look at ourselves.
I'm curious, Nicole, if you feel like the problem is at the worst it's ever been. I mean, 50% of the world have ageist attitudes. That's a very shocking statistic. Has it always been that way, you think, for generations, or do you feel like it's gotten worse in recent years?
I like to think, if anything, it's going to slowly start to get better because we're shedding more light on what ageism is and how we can address it and then prevent it moving forward. I do think, based on current statistics with the baby boomer generation aging, we have more older adults than ever before around the world, not just within our country. And that statistic is not going to change. And I'm hopeful that if this is the worst, that we're working to make it better. I like to think the worst may be behind us just because we are taking some of these steps.
Mm-hmm. So we're addressing a problem, essentially. We're I don't want to say normalizing a conversation, but we're talking about it more. So hopefully we find and combat this and find solutions. Do you feel like, Nicole, possibly politics play a role in this? And again, I don't want to be hyper local to the United States because, as mentioned, worldwide. I mean, we're talking about the entire globe here. So we're not just talking about the United States. That's one in two people worldwide who are, according to the American Society on Aging, they have these ageist attitudes. But when you look at the United States, for example, ageism is brought up all the time. I mean, age, I should say, is brought up all the time. Just looking at the presidential election, this go around, the last go around, and the go around before that. Every time, essentially, former President Donald Trump has been involved in any sort of election, this has come up. So I was curious if you feel like that plays any sort of a factor. I'm not sure in other countries if they've got this issue as well, where age is brought up and are you fit to be president or a leader or a doctor anymore or an attorney? Is that a conversation happening in other countries? Because it's certainly happening here, as you know.
Yes, I believe it is. And I do agree our country is very politically charged, especially right now. But again, because of these stereotypes that are ingrained in us very young, I mean, studies are saying even by the age of three, children are familiar with aging stereotypes. And then those are just reinforced over the course of one's life. I do think it may be weaponized ageism in today's political world. And absolutely, we need our leaders and everyone in a position, whatever their employment may be, to be capable. But we shouldn't let age necessarily dictate that, or right. We shouldn't question it based on someone's age. Absolutely. It's a widespread problem.
Mm-hmm. So again, we have Nicole Fidanza here, who is a clinical associate professor of occupational therapy at Quinnipiac University. And we are chatting today on Ageism Awareness Day, which is October 9th. And we're talking about the impact of ageism on people, communities, and trying to combat the problem. Let's start with that. Before I go into healthcare and how this could bring inadequate treatment on older adults, what is the impact on the individual or on a community when ageism creeps in as being discriminatory?
A great question. So I think for the older adults themselves, and again, this is why I'm hoping our messaging can change that as future generations age, it becomes internalized over time. it becomes just another unconscious bias that someone has in terms of how they look at older adults, or, you know, just assume all older adults are cranky or forgetful or are less important or less valued in society. So for the older adults that are holding those beliefs, whether they realize it or not, that absolutely can negatively affect their mental health. It can affect their physical health. Becca Levy, who is a worldwide well-known gerontologist, has done research and has said the single most important factor in determining longevity, no matter race, no matter gender, socioeconomics, the single most important factor is how someone thinks about aging. And if we can approach it from a positive lens, it can actually add years to our life.
Wow. Now, I'm curious, too. I don't want to dismiss the fact that we're certainly focused on an older population of people. But what about the other side of this scale, Nicole? What about younger people? I mean, what does age discrimination do to that demographic?
Yes, I love that you mentioned that. It can happen to any age group. It does happen more disproportionately to older adults. But I talk to my college students at Quinnipiac. We are an age-friendly university, which means we've committed to addressing ageism and to including older adults in all that we're doing on campus. And college students often have that light bulb moment of like, this has happened to me. Like someone assumed that I couldn't cook a meal, or someone assumed that I didn't know how to write a check because they thought I was too young. So it absolutely can happen to anyone of any age. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting for our students to have those light bulb moments and to be like, hey, I was offended when someone said that. They get a little taste of what older adults may feel all the time.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I felt it here on WICC. I started on WICC when I was 28 years old. I was the first female and youngest host to ever take over in 90 plus years. And that was so apparent by a lot of listeners, not to call out one individual person or another. But that first year and a half that I took over the show was brutal. And a lot of the comments were about my age. And I thought that was probably one of the hardest times of my entire 15-year career in journalism was, well, you're so young. You know, you need to be older to be doing this job. And I thought, wow.
And it's like, according to who? And I'm thank you for sharing. I'm sorry you experienced that, but it is out there. And it just leads me to wonder, like, what is the sweet spot? And it must be pretty small based on some of these unconscious biases that we hold.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'd be remiss if I said that it's just for an older demographic. It certainly is for really anybody in between. And like you said, Nicole, so beautifully at the beginning of this, there are so many isms out there. Nicole Fidanza is here. She is a clinical associate professor of occupational therapy at Quinnipiac University. And today is Ageism Awareness Day. And we want to talk about the impact of ageism on people and ways to combat the problem. Let's talk about how ageism impacts healthcare. Nicole, what can you tell us?
Absolutely. So again, if older adults have over time internalized some of this unconscious bias, even about themselves, they may be more willing to accept that things like depression, pain, fatigue, memory changes are just normal. And they consider that a typical part of aging and not necessarily seek medical attention. That is not true. Those are medical concerns that should be brought to the attention of a provider. Further, if providers are holding some, they're getting older, they may not be as quick to address the concerns that are brought to them by their clients who are of older age.
Interesting. I mean, even family members to an extent, when you hear, it's funny, I have a very dear friend of mine who works here at the radio station, a sister station of mine. And in years ago, he was, you know, having back issues and something was bothering him. And I know he had a history of hernias before. And I had said to him, I'm like, do you think it could be that? And he's like, nah, it's just, you know, I'm just getting old. And I'm like, okay. And we sort of ignored it. Like, that was the end of it. And then months later, Nicole, he not only had one, but he had two hernias, two of them. And I mean, this was ignored for months because we assumed, you know, you're in your upper 60s and hey, this is probably just a back thing. And it wasn't just a back thing, you know. And so even friends and family, I don't want to say I'm an ageist, but in that situation, it's like, well, it was written off like, yeah, no, I get older. This is what happens. Like, get ready for it. And it's like, OK, don't even pursue it. Don't even say, hey, well, you know what? You should go see a doctor. You should go and do that and encourage my friend. And I felt horrible about that. You know, like I think we need to also sort of, you know, pull back the lens and say, hey, I'm not saying that we are, you know, have these thoughts per se, but we sort of rest on easy street a little bit too, as friends sometimes and relatives and colleagues, and just kind of go, all right, well, I mean, I guess if that's par for the course, that's what it is. And you move on with your day. You can't do that.
Absolutely. And as prior to, you know, entering academia to teach, I'm an occupational therapist who worked with older adults. And if I had a nickel for every time I had a loved one of my clients say that, like, oh, we just thought they were getting older. We didn't think twice about it. And then unfortunately, something major would happen that would lead them, you know, to needing therapy services following an injury or an illness that could have been prevented. You know, not every time, but we don't want to just brush these concerns off at all, because prevention is key, and early treatment, if something is a concern, is key. So we want to try to focus on that.
So I think obviously it leads to my final question, Nicole, which is, how do we combat the issue? So number one, at the very top of the list, it is, you know, prevention. It's recognizing that you can't just write off things because of age. What else would you say, again, on both sides of the spectrum, whether it's for younger folks or it's for older folks, what are some ways we could combat the issue of ageism?
Yeah, great question. I think recognition is key, and being aware of what ageism is. You know, as we said earlier, there's so many isms that ageism may not be the most, you know, well-known ism. Something we're doing at Quinnipiac as a part of our age-friendly university initiative is making sure that ageism is included in all diversity, you know, equity and inclusion plans. We're not saying it's more important or less important, but just bring it to the table. Like, let's make sure we're talking about it so that our students know when they enter the real world what this is, whatever their career path may be. I think we need to stop ourselves from attributing, like we just talked about, aches and pains, or someone's getting confused, or someone seems extra cranky, like that's typical. Those aren't typical things if we're thinking of more older adults. For all of us, as a society, like the messages the media is giving us about aging on both sides, because sometimes the media can portray young adults or teenagers in a negative light that may lead to ageism against those age groups. So we really want to.
So it's so funny you say that, Nicole. I'm a huge hockey fan, and I was watching last night, opening night for my team, who miserably lost. It was terrible, but that, I digress. And so I'm watching this, and there was a commercial about Gen Z hockey players. And I have to be honest, half of the players that were in this commercial, I didn't even realize were Gen Z. Like, I don't know if you follow hockey, but like Austin Matthews, who is like the superstar in Toronto, apparently he's Gen Z. Didn't realize that. I thought he was older than that. But either way, he's in this. And I thought to myself, why are we addressing this? I thought it was strange that, I mean, I understood why. It's like normalizing the conversation. But to me, I was like, a hockey player is a hockey player. I don't care what your age is. What is your talent? What are you bringing to the team? Right. What are you bringing to the ice? And I just thought it was strange. And I didn't even realize that was something that needed to be addressed in a commercial. I understood, hey, stop looking at people for their age. But I sort of thought it went like overboard. I thought, wait, why are we identifying these guys as age? Why aren't we just saying hockey's hockey and enough with that? I don't know. It was strange to me. It made me uncomfortable, honestly. I was like, this is weird.
Melissa, I think that analogy can apply to everyone. Like, why are we bringing age into this equation? Like,
right.
Let's look at, you know, the role that they're holding, or, you know, the responsibilities that they need to, you know, meet, and not necessarily focus on age, because age is just a number.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Chronological age is just a number and should not be used to predict any type of functioning, you know, independence abilities. It's much, much more than that.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, I'm so glad that this is a focus for Quinnipiac University. And Nicole Fidanza, you are a joy. Thank you so much for coming on this morning. I really appreciated this. Yeah. Great conversation. Great stuff to talk about, especially today on Ageism Awareness Day. And again, Nicole Fidanza here from Quinnipiac University on WICC. Interesting stuff.